Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Eugene Connors?
Here.
Councilmember Joan Hanson?
Here.
Councilmember Shirley Dowdy?
Present.
Mayor Ronald Dirtley?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Anna Klein?
Here.
Councilmember Douglas Dunn?
Here.
City staff Ashley Coronado, city clerk Britt Hanson, city attorney.
Thank you. We have a call to the public if anybody would like to do that, but we have a couple people signed up for items number one and two. How we're going to do that is we're going to have staff present first, and then the people signed up on those items number one and number two, then we will have you come up at that particular time. Item number one, discussion on the Border City Land Corporation request for rezoning from C1 to C4, and I believe we'll start off with Mr. Britt Hanson, city attorney, city of Bisbee.
Just to clarify, at least for some members of the public tonight, tonight we're starting out with a work session, which will have a lot of the elements of a public hearing in it, but then it'll be followed by a public hearing. So probably it would be most appropriate for people that want to speak at that agenda item to speak at the public hearing. Anyway, to start the work session, I wanted to give a little bit of background going back to the settlement agreement that the city and borders cities entered into in 2011, then some of the procedures that we've followed here to date that bring us here. That'll be followed by a presentation by Mr. Paul Esparza, the county planning director, who has done a staff report for the Planning and Zoning Commission and now the council. So we're talking about two parcels, two tax parcels, the ones that are in yellow on the screen. The one tax parcel is what the building commonly known as the convention center, and the other is the parking lot behind the convention center, which is all attached to the parking lot, the big paid parking lot near the convention center. There's the big lot, convention center, and then the lot behind the convention center. One of the things that we've tried to stress throughout this process is the rezoning that Mr. Reese, on behalf of Board of Cities, has requested is not just for a hotel, but rather from C1 to C4, commercial 1 to commercial 4. And Mr. Aspires will explain what the C1 and C4 designations mean. But it's for a lot of uses other than a hotel. Because Mr. Reese emphasized the fact that what he really would like to do is develop a hotel, it's been very easy for a lot of us to get in the mind that that's what we're talking about, but it's a much broader request than that. I just wanted to reemphasize that again. There's a settlement agreement that affects what we're doing and how this came about. There was a parking dispute between Border Cities and the City of Bisbee. In 2011, the city and Border Cities settled that agreement. The pertinent parts of the settlement agreement are this, that Border Cities provide 43 public spaces on the what's called the plaza parcel, which is the parking lot behind the convention center. The second aspect of it is that Border Cities agreed to provide at least 36 paid public spaces on the gateway parcel, which is the parking lot to the east of the convention center. Very pertinent, when Border Cities applies for the rezoning, the city has 6 months to decide. That is to give an up or down vote. It does not say that the city has to vote for the rezoning, just that you've got to give an up or down vote within 6 months. And you may recall that by agreement with Border Cities, that was extended through November 30th. There's also a provision of the agreement that if a building is constructed, that the city would waive building permit fees up to $65,000. If the rezoning takes place and the structure is built, the 35 paid parking spaces count towards the parking requirements. Another very germane part of the settlement agreement. And if the city denies the rezoning, the lawsuit resumes. I've tried to emphasize that my advice to the Planning and Zoning Commission and now to the council is that you all should be deciding the rezoning on the merits of the rezoning itself, not on the lawsuit. All right, I wanted to give you a kind of an update on the rezoning process of how we've come to this point, because it's been fairly long. The application was put in on April 28th. It consists of one page, and that's through no fault of Mr. Rees. The city's zoning code really doesn't tell you what you need to include in a rezoning application. So what we did is we had a work session on June 28th with the Planning and Zoning Commission. I gave a PowerPoint that's somewhat more expanded than this to try and give some background on the zoning code. But I was also really what I was trying to get at that point is I wanted to know what kind of information the commission wanted from Mr. Rees so that he could supply it to them and they could adequately consider the merits of the rezoning because one page certainly would not be enough. So we had the first, after the work session, we wound up scheduling a public hearing for September 15th. That was the first hearing. Mr. Ward prepared a notice of the hearing and sent letters to owners, all owners of property within 300 feet of these parcels, and that's required by the city zoning code. At that time, Board of Cities had hired an architect to do kind of a concept plan, and he gave that presentation at that first public hearing. After that, Mr. Esparza felt that he had enough information to do a staff report to prepare for the commission. He prepared that, and then we had the second public hearing on October 20th. And at that time, the commission did deliver a recommendation of approval of the rezoning, but with many conditions, which, again, Mr. Esparza will detail for you. And then the process before the council, because a rezoning is an ordinance or requires an ordinance for approval, we have to go through the requirements of the city code. One of those is before passing an ordinance, you have to consider a notice of intent to adopt the ordinance, then allow for at least 13 days to pass, and then have the hearing on the ordinance itself, the final hearing, the second hearing. And we have to accomplish that all before the November 30th deadline. Many people have asked this question, so I thought I'd address it at the outset. Is the design review board involved in this? No, not. They don't have any formal role in the rezoning. They would have a role, of course, since this is an old Bisbee in the historic district. If the rezoning is approved and if Mr. Rees or someone chooses to construct a parcel or construct a structure on that parcel, then the design review board will have authority and be required to review and approve any construction. So I will turn it over to Mr. Esparza at this point. He'll elaborate on quite a few more points than I did. But before I do that, does the council have any questions about the procedure and how we got here?
Any questions from the council? Council Member Connors.
Thank you, Mayor. So we're here to make a decision, and if the decision doesn't go in Mr. Rees's favor, if we do not choose to go forward, it's going to be relitigated again on the decision that we make. Is that correct? Or potentially?
Well, potentially, that'll be up to Mr. Rees and his attorneys whether they choose to resume that litigation. And
because we just simply, as a group, decided not to go forward with the rezoning.
No, the litigation was about the parking requirements for the convention center, and I believe that Mr. Pocket and Mr. McKinnon were on board with the city at the time that was initially instituted. By the time 2000 and they were proceeding to trial, and I think very close to trial on the matter, and then the city manager, Mr. Pocken, the city attorney at the time, I'm blanking out on his name.
John McKinnon.
Well, Mr. McKinnon was gone at that point.
Langlitz?
Yes, Mark Langlitz. And outside counsel, the city had retained outside counsel, sat down with Mr. Rees and his attorneys, and they settled the agreement as I've just described here. Mm-hmm. So if the litigation resumes, it'll be about that parking dispute, about the parking requirements for the convention center, not about the rezoning itself.
Thanks. Thanks, Mr. Hansen.
Any other questions from the council?
No? Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Mayor and City Council, a pleasure to be here tonight to make this presentation to you. But as Mr. Hansen mentioned, that this is a request for the rezoning of two parcels. In particular, it's the Gateway parcel as well as the Plaza parcel here in Old Bisbee. And again, it's to go from C1 to C4. So again, the difference being that there are obviously more intensive uses in the C4 district. As I get into the additional slides, I'll kind of show you what those are and what's included in under C4 versus what's allowed under C1. But again, this request was to facilitate a proposed mixed-use development. The particular conceptual plan that was presented to staff was for a hotel, but keep in mind that could, in fact, be one of the more intensive uses on that particular site. So again, that's what I was analyzing. Again, realizing there could be other uses, but again, this analysis was based on that particular use, so keep that in mind, but again, it is conceptual. And of course, that could include, you know, hotel, the conference space, restaurant, also bar, cafe, and other similar uses on that site. So again, here, taken from the code, is these are the C4 uses that are permitted in C4 that are not currently permitted in C1. So there are 25 uses that I've identified here. There are five uses that were excluded by the applicant, meaning that he has chosen not to pursue those particular uses on the site, and I'll just read those off. Garden nursery, home supply, lumber yard, you've got the golf course, driving range, and you've got self-storage, a towing yard, and then, and I'll get in when I get to the conditions, there were three additional uses that the P&Z Commission has recommended that also be excluded. And I'll go ahead and identify those now. It's automobile sales, number one, number 10 was equipment rental leasing, and number 25 was cabinet repair. So there's now a total of 8 uses based on the recommendation that the P&Z is for that would be excluded from development on those sites. So again, as part of the analysis the staff would do with any request for rezoning is looking at, does it comply with the general plan? And again, looking at the documents that have been produced. So again, when I did analyze that, looking at the land use map, so clearly areas that are being proposed for the rezoning are identified as redevelopment, revitalization, historic preservation, mixed use, and infill areas. So based on this request, it would be an appropriate infill land use to have the hotel concept, and of course it does also fulfill several goals and policies of the historic Old Bisbee planning area. So I did identify those for you, and there's two there. Maintain historic Old Bisbee planning area that serves Bisbee's retail core as the primary regional mixed-use activity center for tourism, legal, arts and culture, heritage, alternative healthcare, lodging, restaurants, entertainment, and historic residential neighborhoods. And then the second one is Policy 5-1D was to promote retail and other infill private sector development that complements and supports the existing historic district, developing Bisbee as an overnight visitor destination as well as a destination for Sonoran visitors. So again, there is certainly the project that's being proposed would in fact fulfill those policies. And also looking at the document that was done roughly 10 years ago, the community charrette that was held, again, looking at that document and finding that, you know, there was particular mention of the Gateway development parcel, and again, certainly four stories and large volume buildings are consistent with the history of the town, and developing a mixed-use complex showcasing the character and the strengths of the town. So again, that's what I saw in the proposed development. So I would say that it would definitely complement what was discussed in that document produced 10 years ago. And then again, the City of Bisbee General Plan was updated in 2015. It does take into consideration the recommendations and considerations from that particular document. So I do see links that work to the public policy that's reflected in the general plan. So again, I thought that there is a connection there between what we see and versus what was identified within that general plan document. And here's a photo, of course, looking west across the Gateway parcel. And again, that would be predominantly the parcel where they would propose to have the hotel development. And again, here's an aerial view of the same site. And again, I've outlined predominantly most of the gateway parcel, realizing there's two there, but this is predominantly where that development would occur, is on this parcel. Here is the conceptual site plan. So again, to the right there, you see where the hotel building itself would kind of shape the street. So it kind of is, and again, based on what the architect done is, and again, I guess across from the pit, I guess there's those round mining, I guess from the mining days, there's, I don't know what those structures are called, but they're round, look like they might have been where some of the milling might have occurred, but there's a large structure, and I think that, that kind of replicates, you know, again, looking at what exists here in the Bisbee areas, you know, to try to reflect in the architecture. But again, you know, this is a conceptual site plan, so we did look at that. There's 62 parking spaces that are proposed on this site. I know based on the inventory that was done several years ago, I think they identified 70. So there would be a few spaces that would be lost, but again, that's what they're incorporating with this particular conceptual plan. So, and again, like I said, hotel, restaurant, cafe, some shops all contained within that that building that kind of runs along that access road, I guess it leads to Highway 80 south. So, and then again, looking at the Bisbee zoning code, so what you have on the books now is it, in analyzing this, so one parking space would be required for every guest room, again, one space for every 200 square feet of actual usable service area. And then as far as employee, you've got to have one parking space for each two employees. Now, again, we don't have any idea. I didn't have that information, and I also have a chart here that'll show, not knowing how many employees would be part of that. But here's, and I know you'll have probably, you might have a little trouble seeing this, but again, we just broke down what the particular uses are, and we identified 88 spaces for all of the uses, and they're proposing 62. So you would be deficient by 26 spaces, but again, certainly this is just the analysis of the conceptual plan. But clearly, this is something that planners would always look at, is determining can the site sustain the necessary parking for that type of development. So again, that's what that analysis is really showing. Getting back to, I guess there was an inventory done of all of the parking that's currently available in Old Bisbee. So there's 508 public parking spaces. And again, that talks about where from Moonheim House, I guess if I'm saying that correctly, to Iron Man, and it includes all those spaces. So the Plaza and Gateway parcels were identified to hold 110 parking spaces. So if you look at, as I mentioned before, the Gateway parcel was identified to contain 70 spaces of that 508. The conceptual plan would propose 62. So again, you will have a reduction of 8 spaces. The entire conceptual site plan would call for at least 88 parking spaces. That does not include any employee parking, because we do not know how many employees would be part of the development. So again, that, keep that in mind, that certainly would go up based on if you could identify what the employee count was. So factors in favor, it was mentioned by Mr. Hansen, really there's no reviewing criteria in the Bisbee zoning code currently, but again, using what the county, we felt like this certainly, we look at factors in favor and there's certain criteria, but again, looking at this, approving the rezone request would be keeping with the character of the existing development of the area, and also there's several Old Bisbee planning area goals and policies that are fulfilled. And then there was one formal response in support of the rezoning, that which has been received. I know there at the PNZ level, there was citizens and also property owners that did speak favorably of the project. And then the only factor against approval, if we had to identify that, would be based on the conceptual development plan, the Bisbee parking standards have not been met for the proposed uses. So that was something that would certainly need to be addressed to determine how you could accommodate additional parking spaces to serve all the proposed uses. As was mentioned, the Planning Commission, they did hold their public hearing, and they did forward a recommendation at their October 20th meeting. So they have recommended approval of the rezoning request for the two parcels, which are identified by the parcel numbers that you see there. It was a conditional approval subject to the following conditions, and I'll walk you through these. But the applicant shall provide the city with a signed acceptance of conditions and a waiver of claims arising from ARS Section 12-1134, and do that within 30 days of the council approval. And what that really means is that these conditions, and if there's any additional conditions that the City Council may add, that the applicant is basically acknowledging that they do accept these conditions as part of the rezoning. They would sign a document that states these are the conditions that they accept them. And as far as the RS section, it has to do with the diminution of property value. I mean, normally when someone, this particular applicant is requesting a rezoning, so again, but again, it's just to make sure that there's no claims coming from that the property's been diminished. Or, so he's just acknowledging that he's, you know, he's a willing party to the rezoning. But again, it just, this goes back several years when he did come out with that ARS section. Condition number two is any project shall be commenced within 5 years of the date of zoning approval, or the parcels will revert back to their former zoning classification. This is not an automatic occurrence. This has to be something that the City Council would initiate. You'd have to schedule a public hearing to reverse that zoning and restore it to its former zoning. So again, but that is a condition that the development would need to take place within 5 years, or that the council could take action to reverse it to its former zoning. Condition number three, any project will address site development standards, including outdoor lighting, setbacks, landscaping, and a traffic circulation plan, and will include a parking plan in conformance with Article 8, which is parking and loading of the Bisbee Zoning Code. The site development plan and the parking plan and any requested waivers will be subject to approval of the mayor and council at a public hearing following a review and recommendation from the Planning and Zoning Commission. Number four, the parking plan must be in conformance with the settlement agreement between the city and the applicant executed in January of 2011. I know that Mr. Hansen did touch on that. Number five, any proposed exterior construction, reconstruction, alterations, or structural changes will also be subject to approval of the Design Review Board per Section 2.6 of the Bisbee Zoning Code. Condition number six, prior to issuance of a building permit and floodplain use permit, the applicant will provide the county and city with structural design calculations by a registered professional engineer that ensures that any new structure will cause no adverse impact to the underground drainage channel, which I understand lies beneath the parking lot now. So they want to make sure that there's no harm that's caused to that structure. Number seven, should the applicant not pursue a hotel use, the applicant agrees to limit other alternative uses to the C4 permitted uses listed in this report. And I did touch on those earlier, but I will mention those now, excluding automobile sales, garden and nursery, home supply, lumber yard, equipment rental, leasing, golf course driving range, self-storage, towing yard, and cabinet repair. And number eight, if the proposed use is a hotel, the hotel size shall not be greater than 65 rooms. So those are the eight conditions that were attached to the approval that the P&Z has granted. And I know, and I'll just kind of, and I know they did add, as I mentioned, the three additional uses, which I did cover, and then they wanted to say that any project, and I think if I can go back, I think we did change the language in number three, and we changed that from the project to any project. So they wanted to make sure that was applicable to any project. So I would be happy to answer any questions if the council has any.
Any questions from the council? Councilmember Connors.
Thank you, Mayor. Factors in favor of approval, factors against approval. Would you say your name again, please?
Paul Esparza.
Paul, you mind if I call you Paul?
That's
Thank you very much. What, if you have any at all, what are your suggestions for the parking inadequacies?
I mean, I had initially, again, with the limited knowledge of the parking area, you know, I had originally had thought about shared parking agreements, but again, not knowing.
Could you describe that?
Meaning that, and let me just use an example from where I came from. And I'll just, Plaintop Lakeside is where I came from. We had a situation where there was a very busy restaurant. It was called Red Devil. It was a pizza restaurant, and it was next to a bank. So the Red Devil site was a bit tight. They did have limited parking. So what they did, they entered into an agreement with National Bank next door, realizing that bank business pretty much closes up by 5 o'clock. That's around the time when Red Devil was getting extremely busy. So they had an arrangement where they could utilize the parking at the bank because that was now vacant for the additional parking that the restaurant needed. And there was a sign, it was called a shared parking agreement. Now, I know that's a particular situation. Don't know if that'd be applicable to Bisbee, but certainly that's one thing I had And again, certainly knowing that there's other locations within the old Bisbee, I mean, the question is, I mean, how far are people willing to go from parking to the business? I mean, I realize that may not be convenient, but certainly, ideally, if you could find a situation where you had businesses, perhaps. But I don't know, again, all the details of the free parking or parking, if it's even available. That's what I'm not real clear on. But I know that's just giving you an example of something that I've seen work in another location.
And who made those, who started that conversation, and who was that conversation between?
Well, staff had initially, when we started to analyze and look around there, we said it's possible that maybe you could utilize, you know, neighboring properties that aren't utilizing their parking during the times when you need your parking. So again, that was something that, and again, but we left it up to the businesses to work that out between each other, and they did sign a shared parking agreement.
Yeah, I wanted to clarify one thing. One of the in the conditions of rezoning, someday Mr. Reese or someone will make an actual proposal for an actual facility, and at that time they'll have to come first to the commission and then to the council and say, this is how we're going to solve the parking problem, and this is how we're going to comply with the zoning code. Honestly, discussions up to this point as to how Mr. Reese is going to build the facility that he ultimately wants and still comply with the zoning code, haven't seen any miracles come out of those discussions. But it'll be on Mr. Reese to convince the Planning and Zoning Commission and the City Council at the time a structure is proposed, this is how we're going to solve that problem. So.
Okay. And the reason why I ask is because, you know, in the short history, 4 years that I've been up here, that a lot of kind of sticky decisions have been put upon the council to be made, where department heads and other individuals that are truly in the business of doing business could do this. And that's why I'm asking these questions, because it would be, you know, and I'm short-lived, but you know, going forward with my predecessor or whomever, these kinds of things that are sussed out up here at the council, and like these decisions will be made, and it won't necessarily have to be made by us. Although I'm not anticipating that we won't have to chime in, but this is kind of what I'm trying to speak to, that these kinds of questions, and I'm sure that Mr. Reese and in the years of that this has been going on, have been talked about, and that is, in Ward 1 is where I'm at, and who I represent. It's just the property isn't being made anymore, and it is such a finite resource of parking. So these are the kinds of decisions that I hope are made prior to a plan being agreed upon, and everything is to the best that we can anticipate gone through. And then also the site development plan and parking plan and any request of waivers will be subject to approval of mayor, council at a public hearing following a review and recommendation from the Planning and Zoning Commission, such as, and you know, such as what? You know, give me a hypothetical.
Perhaps a parking waiver, right? I mean, that's
possible. And what would that entail? Fewer? Even more? You know, even fewer? I mean, we're already going at fewer, and I'm not necessarily against this, but I am talking to the issue. And that's truly, it's just, where do we park? And what, and you know, what are those, what, you know, and I'm not asking it for a crystal ball kind of a thing, but just give me one or two would be better than one, types of waivers that we would be looking at.
The kind of waivers would be one, parking, one, site second would be site development standards. As far as what kind of waivers would be requested or whether any would be requested, Mr. Reese will have a chance to speak here in a minute. He's probably the person to ask on that. Right now, the way the conditions are written, he's got a right to request the waivers, but he doesn't have a right to them.
And I'm just trying to anticipate that.
Councilmember Dunn.
Yeah, I serve as the City Council's liaison with the Planning and Zoning Commission, and have been involved in the these discussions over a number of months here now. And I quickly want to start off by commending our Planning and Zoning Commission for the hours and hours of work that they put into this. I think too often we don't fully acknowledge our volunteer commissions and the contribution that they make to this community. As indicated by Mr. Hansen, that they've held a couple of hearings. They've heard numerous work sessions. They had a work session with council in developing these recommendations. And I particularly want to acknowledge them by name. Keith Dennis is chair, Mark Appel, vice chair, Judy Anderson, Noel Subi, Cynthia Conroy, Michael McPartland, and Paul Enright. Also, Joe Ward, of course, our building inspector, is the staff liaison in support to this, and we are certainly quite fortunate to have Joe as part of our team here at the City of Bisbee. And bringing in Paul here, who is the planning director of the Cochise County, I really commend in terms of the insight that you have brought to this. I also want to commend our press that both the Bisbee Review and the Bisbee Observer carried notices of public hearings and actually provided front page coverage of the process and the discussion that went into the recommendations before us. So this has really been very fully covered through our press, and I want to thank you for that. I also want to acknowledge Scott Reese in terms of his willingness to negotiate and discuss and consider alternatives. I particularly want to make some reference to several of the conditions here that I think are really, really important that were brought forth by staff and the Planning and Zoning Commission. Item 3, I think, is particularly important, and that is that any site development standards, in terms of any project that will be brought forward, will be subject to the review of the mayor and council at a public hearing following review and recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission. And this, I want to stress, provides a higher level of city council and public review than is what is now provided. That if Mr. Reese or Borderland City's Land Corporation decided to move forward with the C1 uses that are now permitted, that are not currently permitted, this heightened level of public review would not be required. And so he's agreeing that on any, whether it's the old C1 as well as those additional ones under C4, would also now be up for public review. And some of the things that he's now permitted to do under C1 is automotive supply, automotive rental, drug store, electronic store, feed and seed, hardware store, packaged liquor, on and on. These are things that are now permitted under C1 zoning, and the applicant is under these conditions is agreeing now that any proposal would go before us for review. And also, item 4 guarantees that the 43 parking spaces will continue to be provided in the area south of the convention center. 5 makes specific reference that any project will be subject to the review of the design, approval of the design and review board. Item 6, also indicated by staff here, there's concern about some of the structural demands and indicates then that we will have a structural design, will have no adverse impact on the underground drainage channel. And certainly we need to acknowledge that historically there was a 4-story warehouse on this property that was supported. 7, has been referenced here that the Planning and Zoning Commission has recommended with the approval of the applicant to exclude certain items under the C1 and C4 that were permitted by ordinance and has agreed to exclude those, and those are listed under 7. Also, a question was raised by Mr. Connors regarding parking, and that has been a continuing point of discussion in these hearings. We've had individuals who have come forward, citizens, business people, to express this concern. Following the public hearing that was held by the Planning and Zoning Commission on October 20th, that resulted in the recommendations here before us, there was a consensus expressed by the commission members that once this is approved, they are committed to moving forward in cooperation with Public Works to develop a parking plan for Old Bisbee. I also, last week, met with our city manager, along with our Public Works director, along with Joe Ward here, the building inspector, to discuss parking. And out of that meeting, there was a full, I want to express a full commitment on the part of the city to move forward in terms of addressing parking issues, if you want to call them that, in terms of our very picturesque but canyon-side Old Bisbee, interesting landscape that we have. Certainly at an earlier meeting, and this has been referred to here, that was presented to us an inventory of all current parking spaces, and that presentation was made to us. That study identified that there are 508 existing public parking spaces and that there were 97 developable parking spaces identified in that inventory. Also, the Public Works Director announced to me that he has budgeted funds for and is in the process of contracting with an engineering firm to conduct a, quote, parking, traffic, and pedestrian control and circulation plan. And that there's hopes that that will be underway within 30 days. The point that I'm making here is that there's a strong public commitment on the part of staff and the Planning and Zoning Commission to move forward in terms of addressing parking, how we can expand and increase parking in the downtown area. I've started to develop brainstorming a list in terms of options that I can see, and I have quite a sizable list. If Mr. Connors wants to talk with me in terms, I can list very specific areas in which I think we can gain some additional parking spaces. And I look forward to being part of that discussion as well. But I think certainly that we are concerned about parking, and I certainly wanted to express on behalf of the city and behalf of the Planning and Zoning Commission that there is a commitment to moving forward in terms of what can we do in terms of expanding the availability of parking. And certainly parking is not solely a responsibility of the city of Bisbee. It is certainly a private-public responsibility, and it certainly is going to be cooperation among all. Anyway, thanks, Mayor. I wanted to share these observations and, again, to commend the Planning and Zoning Commission for the recommendation that is brought before us here.
Any other questions? Councilmember Klein.
Mr. Dunn, could you... I didn't quite get, who is the Public Works Director meeting with regarding this?
I met with the Public Works Director and City Manager. He had indicated that he has budgeted for a consultant to do a parking, traffic, and pedestrian control and circulation study that will take the inventory that we now have, and it's more than just identifying spaces, but how do we move from parking spaces either on foot or in our car and within Old Bisbee. So it's a circulation as well as a identification of potential developable sites.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein.
Okay. In here, you know, it talks about the charrette that we had in Old Bisbee 10 years ago, and it was a very good charrette. It was full of a lot of information, and we actually got to see how we could do infill up in Old Bisbee, and it's amazing, and parking as well. And, you know, yes, the four stories. The concern I have, though, is years before that, there was a study by the Corps of Engineers, and nobody's brought that up or mentioned it, but was any of that taken into consideration in coming up with this?
Yeah. And City Attorney, Mr. Hanson.
I was not aware until I think maybe a week or two ago that either the Corps of Engineers or the county engineer had looked at that tunnel several years ago, back when, I forget the name of the developer, back in 1992, I think was... You look like you want to tell me who it is.
No, I don't know about 92. I thought it was earlier than that. Collier Craft?
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, and that either the Corps of Engineers or the county engineer had looked at it and identified some problems with it. I wasn't aware of that until as I said, the last couple of weeks. But I was aware of the channel, which is why I asked the county engineer, Karen Riggs, to what requirements would be needed to assure that nothing affected that drainage. And that's why there's a condition in here that before any kind of construction takes place, the applicant would have to have an engineering study done to make sure that whatever was being proposed did not affect that channel. All of us who live in Bisbee are really aware of what would happen if anything happened to that channel. Water would flood the whole town. So that's why the condition was included. But at that time, when I suggested the condition, I wasn't aware of the study that you just referred to.
Okay, well, this was long after Collier Craft. This was, Bill Kelly was actually our city manager at the time. So we're talking maybe late 90s or, you know, early 2000. I can't remember when he was here. But we actually went down with the Corps of Engineers into the channel. We went and got stuff from the Queen Mine and, you know, went in there. And they were pointing out structural weaknesses down there. So I know there was a full study done then, but like I said, nobody's brought it up.
Yeah, I don't think anybody was aware of it, that there was something like that until the last couple of weeks I've heard about it, but I've not actually seen it. I asked the county engineer if she could dig up something. I thought it was the county engineer.
No,
I didn't realize it was the Corps of Engineer.
It was Corps of Engineer.
I wouldn't even know how to track that down unless Mr. Ward has some records going back that far and has that document.
Any other questions, Councilmember Connors?
Thank you, Mayor. Britt, Doug started in on item number 3 in the PNC recommendations, but item number 2 that says any project shall commence within 5 years of the date of zoning approval or parcels will revert to their former zoning classifications upon action of the City Council. So we're going to have to take an action here to rezone this or not. Does it have to have another action, City Council action, or could it just happen as a matter of fact after 5 years?
Yeah, the law isn't clear on that, at least as it applies to municipalities. For counties, it's quite clear that that you have to take it back to the Board of Supervisors to revert a zoning. And so it's kind of following that model. Just to be on the safe side, because municipal law is less clear on that. So.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments from the council?
So you could, if you wanted to do, you could make it automatic. I can't guarantee that if it was ever challenged, it would hold up.
But we could put that language in whatever ordinance that we do, whatever action we take, you know, if we were to take an affirmative action in rezoning this, we could put that language in there. That it just in 5 years to the day, it just automatically reverts back, and then it would just be
that would be up to
the onus
council.
Would be on the on whoever would want to dispute that.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from the council? We do have a couple of people signed up. There are a couple of people that came in late, and you're certainly welcome to speak if you so desire. Let's start off with Mr. Eric Flynn. I believe you're signed up. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, Robert Page, you're first.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, Council. Never thought I'd be up here long enough to give you guys a history lesson. I was 31, 32 when I sat here in the audience and we talked about whose responsibility it was to find parking, and the onus of parking was settling quickly on the BCLC, which was a group that I was not affiliated with them. I was simply looking at Bisbee as an investment opportunity. And here I'm 52, 20 years later, and still nobody has come up with a parking solution. We have probably, as a community, been as difficult with the Border Cities Land Corporation, and I should mention I'm a board member. We've been as difficult with them as we possibly can in making life or earning a profit in this building, the convention center, as difficult as we possibly can, because every conversation has always reverted back to, well, who's going to provide for parking? And it's not, I would argue that it is not our responsibility to provide the community with parking. It's just not. Parking is not a profitable venture. It's not the highest and best use for this particular piece of property. The Charette told us that. It's been a long time. I think approving the C4 at least gets this ball rolling in the right direction. We always look at Mr. Reese as the developer. I think the only thing Mr. Reese has developed with our group in the last 20 years is a high blood pressure and possibly a heart condition. And I'm going to urge you to please vote in favor of this, if for no other reason than to get him back to Phoenix so I can go home at night, because I can't go home until he goes home. And his light never goes off until 10 o'clock. So I appreciate your time and attention to this. I think there was only there may only have been one or two of you. Councilmember Klein was on the board back then when I sat out here, and I was but a young guy. People want to invest in Bisbee, and we don't want to make it any more difficult than is necessary. And putting the onus of parking, which has been, I don't think it's been a very successful ordinance by virtue of the fact that I don't see developers lining up at the tunnel to do any development in Bisbee, nor do I really see a huge influx of people wanting to do business in Bisbee. So as a business owner, as a member of Ward 1, a homeowner, and Border City's board member, I encourage you to please vote in favor of the C4 so we can get forward with either doing something with it or walking away from it, or hopefully doing something in favor of the city. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Robert Page. Now we'll go to Mr. Eric Farmer.
Good evening, Eric Farner in Warren. Mayor, Council, members of the public, I'm here to speak in favor of moving forward with this proposal. I discussed this a little bit with the Planning and Zoning Commission and pointed out that we all know that Bisbee is a very special place to us and has a certain charm, certain attraction, but there are communities all across the country, and to their citizens, their communities are special, you know, to them. And that's what our competition is. And the fact that we have people who are wanting to invest in this community, money's already being spent. You know, the plans that we're seeing, the architects had done, those weren't done but, you know, for free. There's an enthusiasm, a belief that there's a future here for development in this community. And that's precisely what we want to have happen. If we're serious about pulling Bisbee out of his economic doldrums, we want to attract, you know, that kind of capital and investment. We want to attract that type of enthusiasm and a positive, you know, sense of what the community can be. And that's precisely what's happening here. And we want to be open for business. We want to set the stage that this project can be successful, that capital can come here, and we are going to welcome it, and that will then attract other capital. And that'd be a good problem to have, what we're going to do with all of the parking. And that's all I have to say about that.
Thank you, Mr. Eric Connor. Any further thoughts or discussion from the council? Mayor Pro Tem Klein.
Just, you know, one last comment. You know, I am very pro-growth, but smart growth. Until we can really see what the Corps of Engineers thought back then and have that, because we really don't know what we're, you know, we are being told, you know, hotel here, hotel there, but then it's really not a hotel. I mean, we don't really know what we're looking at. And without having, you know, something specific as to what will be built there, I think that is just causing a little bit of an issue with me.
Thank you. Any other comments? Councilmember Hansen?
Well, I personally like the fact that we're not excluding other options for this piece of land. Because if a hotel is not built, there are some other things that could go into to that area and benefit the city.
Any other Councilman Redon?
Yes, Mayor, just in responding to Councilman Klein, and that is the, you know, the provision here that I lose track of it, that there will be a structural design, and I think is responding to your concern in that any specific development that might be proposed for that site, you're requesting that a structural engineer come in and address how can that structure be placed there under the conditions of what's there. And certainly if there's some, as you're indicating, I remember that time when people walk through those, I do believe there's two channels that run underneath that area, that you know, an engineer would then say, how can this be designed? How can we reinforce that waterways and support a development, a structure over that? And that certainly would depend on what's being proposed. At this point, and I think that's a very strong point that the Planning and Zoning Commission has put into these conditions on the recommendations.
Any other comments or questions? Okay, we will now proceed to item number two. Discussion of possible approval of a notice of intent to adopt ordinance O-16-07 to rezone parcels 103-62-416 and 103-62-416A, subject to the 8 conditions set forth in the staff report. Do we have a motion?
Mayor, I move to approve the notice of intent to adopt ordinance 016-07 to rezone parcels 103-62-416 and 103-62-416A, subject to the eight conditions set forth in the staff report.
I second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the notice of intent to adopt ordinance O-16-07 to rezone parcels 103-62-416 and 103-62-416A, subject to the 8 conditions set forth in the staff report. Any other thoughts? No other thoughts? Ms. Coronado, would you
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I believe the applicant would like to exercise his right to...
Oh, thank you.
Make a statement.
Only if it stays the same. As long as it's...
You need to head up there.
Yeah, I just didn't have it written down up here. So thank you.
Scott Reese, President of Border Cities Land Corporation. Mr. Mayor, council members, Mr. Hansen. Mr. Sparsa, public, thank you for being here. I appreciate it. What Britt was talking about was what Mr. Connors brought up about number three. As it's written right now, that's acceptable to me. However, if it's going to be changed where it's automatic, because that's not what we agreed to. So that's my only comment. So if the vote... If the vote's going forward on that language in number three, or whichever number it is, about the five-year, whatever number it is, I can't see it. So that's my only point. If you're going to vote on that language, then please vote. Then I don't have an objection.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Scott Reese. We have a motion and a second. Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt a second time. But because this is the actual public hearing portion of it, I think you'd be required to open it up to the public just in case there's somebody else who wants to speak.
On my council action form, I did not have that public hearing thing. Right. Can we do that?
Yeah, it's an ordinance, so it's a public hearing. So I think you need to, just to be sure there's nobody else that wants to speak.
Let me just do it formally. I'm going to open this public hearing. Those that would like to speak in favor of this agenda item, you're welcome to come up.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, Council, public. My name is Andrew Abernathy. I'm a resident in Benson, Arizona, 621 Mesquite Street. I'm also a Planning and Zoning Commission officer in Benson on their Planning and Zoning Commission. I've also worked here in Bisbee to establish a startup incubator called, what did we call that, Scott? Community Springboard. I'm sorry, thank you. I've been coming to Bisbee as a concerned citizen of Cochise County for about 6 years now, and watching and working with many of your business people here in town. And one of the things that has distressed me as a member of Cochise County is the inability to see any development really happen in Bisbee. And I'm really encouraged tonight by the action that you have in front of you, the motion which you've made and seconded, and the vote which you have impending in front of you. I applaud you and encourage you for the action that you've taken to approve this and move forward. The motion that you have in front of you as a planning and zoning commissioner is not to consider the merits of a proposed plan, but to consider the merits of the use of the land as it is being rezoned. That's all you're here to talk about and all you're here to concern yourself with. How Mr. Reese decides to develop the property is another matter for you to consider later on. So I would ask you to consider the merits of what you have in front of you and nothing else, because legally that's what you're here to do. And to cloud the issue with other items gets in the way of the approval and the property rights of Mr. Reese. I only say this as a friendly neighbor and encourage you to move forward, and thank you for your efforts.
Thank you, Mr. Abernathy. Anybody else would like to speak in favor of this item? Is there anybody that would like to speak against this item? Ms. Coronado, did you have some written responses?
I received written responses that I emailed, and three were in favor for.
Yeah, thank you. Once again, we have a motion and a second. Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Connors?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Doughty?
Nay.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Nay.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Mayor Ertley?
Nay. Motion fails on a 3-3 tie. Do we have a motion?
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. This meeting is adjourned.